Confessor, First Order. One of the most heroic figures in the history of foreign missions is Father John of Monte Corvino, a successful pioneer missionary in various countries of the Orient for about half a century, of which he spent some 9 years in Armenia and Persia, one in India, and 34 in China. He was the first Catholic missionary in India since apostolic times, and the founder of the first Catholic missions in China. During the last 2 decades of his life, he was Patriarch of the entire Orient and Archbishop of Khanbalik, later on called Peking. In 1247, the same year in which Father John of Piano di Carpine returned from his pioneer journey across Asia to Mongolia, John was born in a town of southern Italy called Monte Corvino. As a young man, he was a soldier, a judge, and a doctor. But like St. Francis, he turned his back on a brilliant career in the world and joined the ranks of the Friars Minor. After he had been ordained a priest, he soon distinguished himself as a learned teacher and preacher. At the same time, he practiced austere penance and strove to imitate the poor and humble St. Francis as closely as possible. He was 32 years old in 1279 when he went as a missionary to Lesser Armenia in Persia, where he and other Franciscans labored with great success and established what was called the Vicariate of East Tartary. This was an organized mission territory extending from the Caucasus Mountains to the Indus River and comprising no less than 23 friaries or central missions by the end of the 13th century. Father John, in particular, became well versed in the languages of this region, and by his preaching gained numerous converts. Frequently, within the space of a week or a month, many thousands were baptized. In 1289, the two rulers of Armenia and Persia sent Father John as their envoy to the Supreme Pontiff Nicholas IV. This pope had been the Franciscan Father Jerome Massi of Ascoli, and he had served as Minister General and then papal legate to the Greeks. A great missionary pope, he wrote no less than 2,000 letters to promote the missions in Asia. He appointed Father John as his legate and sent him back to the Orient with 26 letters and a large number of missionary friars. One of the pope's letters was addressed to the Great Khan in China. And so it happened that Father John traveled to that country by way of India about the same time that Marco Polo was returning to Europe from the court of Kublai Khan. In India, Father John tarried for 13 months, visiting various parts of the country and baptizing about 100 persons. He arrived in southeastern China in 1293 and proceeded to the capital, where he was well received and where he remained for the rest of his life, except for about 1 year, which he spent in Tenduk. In the latter kingdom, which comprised the provinces of Shensi, Shanxi, and Kansu, he succeeded in converting the Nestorian ruler and many of the people to the Catholic faith. In Khanbalik, the capital of China, however, he had to contend with the opposition of the Nestorians for 5 years. During this period, he nevertheless succeeded in winning over many of the schismatic Alans, and these became the nucleus of the Christian community in the capital. In 1299, he was able to build his first church, and choir boys whom he had trained there chanted the divine office. He also learned the Tatar language and translated into it the Psalter and the New Testament. Another Franciscan, Father Arnold of Cologne, came to his aid in 1303, and by the end of the next year, they had baptized 6,000 persons. From All Saints' Day, 1305, to February, 1306, 400 more received baptism. And at this time, Father John built his second church. This we learn from two letters Father John wrote in 1305 and 1306. These reports were taken from Persia to Rome by Blessed Thomas of Tolentino. And in 1307, Pope Clement V appointed Father John Patriarch of the entire Orient and Archbishop of Conbelique. Seven Franciscan bishops and numerous friars were sent to his aid, and though many of these died on the way, the work in China now made extraordinary progress. Missions were established also in other parts of the country, and additional bishops and friars arrived. As Archbishop, Father John continued his apostolic labors with great success, converted the schismatic Armenians, who built a third church in the capital, and extended his missionary efforts also to the pagan Mongols and Chinese. We are told that in 1311, he baptized the great Khan, called Kai Khan, or Utsun, shortly before he died, as well as his mother. The archbishop was 81 years old when he died in 1328, honored as a saint by the pagans as well as the Christians. Contemporary documents speak of him as leading a good and very austere life, and being a capable and holy man, a man of a very good life, pleasing to God and the world. In more recent times, various prelates of China have repeatedly requested the Holy See to beatify him. The first plenary council of China, held at Shanghai in 1924, likewise asked that Archbishop John of Monte Corvino be enrolled among the blessed. Because of his heroic missionary virtues and very active zeal in preaching the Catholic faith, his cause of beatification is now pending in Rome. On missionary zeal. God wishes us to manifest zeal for the missions. He gave the command, "Go therefore, teach all nations and baptize them." Matthew 28:19. Missionaries like John of Monte Corvino certainly carried out this command. But what can the missionaries do if their fellow Christians at home do not supply the means to build churches, schools, and asylums, and provide catechists? Remember that you too have an obligation to render help to the work of the missions. The unbelievers need our assistance. They are many in number, more than 5 billion. But their misery is still greater. They have no idea of the meaning of life, of eternity, of Christ, and of His Blessed Mother, of those wells of grace, the sacraments, of consolation in sorrow, of the dignity of women, of the value of the soul. Are we going to say to the unbelievers, "What is that to us? Look you to it." Matthew 27:4. They are all our brothers. Reflect on this frequently and do for them whatever you are able to do. The missionaries themselves need our cooperation. They make the sacrifice of their home, their health, and their life. How great were the sacrifices which John of Monte Corvino made in order to win the unbelievers for Christ? Shall they be forced to say that their fellow Catholics at home have left them in the lurch? Do not wait till you are approached, but regard cooperation and mission activity the sacred duty of a Christian. Prayer of the Church. Behold, O God, our protector, and look upon the face of thy Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, and grant that from the rising of the sun even to the going down, thy name may be great among the Gentiles, and that in every place there may be sacrifice and a clean oblation offered to thy name. Through Christ our Lord.